Eclipse Aviation's historic agreement with ETURC. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. This week's major aviation story has been Eclipse Aviation's deal with ETURC Aviation in Luxembourg for both a capital infusion and an assembly plant for Eclipse in Russia. You can hear more in our AeroCast archives from earlier in the week. Today, ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock spends some one-on-one time with Eclipse President and CEO Vern Rayburn.
Well, Vern, I got to tell you, this was some very, very interesting news you had to share with the media. ETURC, a Dutch investment company that in the past has definitely shown its fair amount of support for Eclipse, raised that level of support exponentially with today's announcement. Vern, tell us a little bit about the reason, the primary reason that you say why ETURC would decide to invest in Eclipse and the reason why this is a good investment for Eclipse Aviation.
Well, I think from the ETURC side, as Roel Pieper said during the comments in the press conference, it's obvious to them because they have approached this not as an aviation company but as an investment company, which means they've brought a level of objectivity and analysis. They're not swayed by, you know, the way things are supposed to be or the way things have been. They see the Eclipse 500 and Eclipse Aviation as a winner, and they see it as a great opportunity because the aircraft, particularly in Europe and Russia, is exactly what we've always said it was going to be, which is a transformational, rule-changing aircraft. And so, therefore, they've said, this is the time, this is the opportunity to get much more deeply involved, to really commit. They've had 4 years plus of experience with us. They've seen what we're capable of doing. They've seen what the aircraft is capable of doing. And they're real simply saying, it's time to really get involved and make a much, much bigger investment. For Eclipse, it's a phenomenal opportunity, ranging all the way from the most obvious, which is this is a substantial increase in our equity base, which really puts the company in any shape, form, or fashion you want to measure on extraordinarily sound financial grounds. So in spite of all the naysayers and rumor mongers and liars out there, Eclipse is in really, really good financial shape. We were actually in pretty good shape before. We're in great shape now. And second, and this is the most important part, this is a significant acceleration of the globalization or the internationalization of Eclipse Aviation. So by joining forces with ETURC and with Russia, we are now able to build aircraft and service markets that, frankly, we would have to probably pass on, or if not pass on, inadequately service. And that means, in turn, you know, our competitors, great companies all, who, because they're larger, because they're more established than we are not going to just have their way with us in international markets. We'll be able to go out and we'll be able to meet them on a, you know, on an equality basis, if you will, and we'll be able to service those markets because we've been able to take our production and move it other places. Now, this is a really important point that I want the listeners of ANN to understand, which is really simply stated, this is not an outsourcing strategy. This has nothing to do with cost savings. This is not Cessna and the 162 having to build the airplane in China because that's the only way they can meet their cost targets. The Eclipse 500 has one of the lowest labor contents of any aircraft in the world today. So when we move to a low labor cost market, it really doesn't make a substantial difference in our cost. This is about expanding into markets that otherwise we'd be unable to serve just because as a new company, we don't have the resources and we can't build it fast enough. And that's why you do partnerships. That's why you find partners, is to leverage the investment that's been made here, leverage the product, and meet the demand that's clearly out there so that, frankly, our competitors don't get to satisfy the demand that we created for them.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the level of authority that ETURC will have in this investment. ETURC is going to be the single largest shareholder when this is completed. Roel Pieper will be the new chairman of Eclipse Aviation. What level of authority does he have in that position and the backers of ETURC in general, which we'll touch on next, in the day-to-day operation of Eclipse Aviation?
He has no authority in the day-to-day operations. Roel's title is not executive chairman, and that's why that title is. It's precisely the same as Red Poling. He's non-executive chairman. Non-executive chairmen do not run companies. That's my job. I'm the executive. I'm the CEO of the company. Now, I work for the board, and this is basic corporate governance 101. The board advises and consents. I, as leader of management, as leader of the company, present plans to the board. We discuss strategy. We look at resource allocation. We make proposals. The board votes on those proposals. The board doesn't say, go do this, go do that. And Roll, as the new chairman of the corporation, has no more power than Red Hat or than any non-executive chairman ever has. It's when you combine those two roles of CEO and chairman that that's when problems occur, and we've seen that in corporate America, and it's one of the big changes in governance, and it's why this is a more modern or more accepted structure, corporate governance structure, of a non-executive chairman and a president CEO structure. In terms of day-to-day operations, there are no ETURC employees joining Eclipse. There's no embeds or implants or whatever you want to call it. So nothing has really changed other than we've got a new great partner. And clearly, we will align our strategies. We will align our work because this is a true win-win. And so, but will there be any control? No. And I would emphasize, besides being the largest individual shareholder, they are still a minority shareholder. So they do not control the company.
That is definitely a touchy subject in today's climate regarding overseas investment, companies coming in from outside the United States. So you say emphatically, this is still an American company, a New Mexico company.
Absolutely. I mean, emphatically so. And you know, independent of the philosophical discussion of outside companies or investment funds outside the United States coming into the United States, whether that's good or bad, I don't want to engage in that debate right now because, you know, frankly, it's a debate that is at best probably ill-informed and at worst based mostly on they ain't like us, which is a pretty bad way to base decisions. But the simple fact of the matter is it's irrelevant in this particular discussion as far as Eclipse Aviation is concerned.
Now let's talk about the backing that ETURC has in Eclipse, because this isn't ETURC's money per se that they're putting into Eclipse Aviation. They have a rather influential backer, I would say, and not only is it a Russian company, it's the Russian government. Does this mean that Vladimir Putin will be traveling throughout the country in an Eclipse 500?
Actually, yes. President Putin has been a big, strong supporter of this. And although I have not met personally with him, I know that he has been involved in this decision process. I know that he has been involved in pushing this forward, and I know he's been a big champion of it. There is a very strong view within Russia that Russia needs an airplane like this. And so, once again, this is a way of skinning the cat that's slightly different, and that's really simply how do we go in and we service what we think is potentially a much bigger market than any of the other international markets that have been talked about and touted so much. Ultimately, I think China, ultimately India, places like that will be very large markets. But we have a, shall we say, a slightly less optimistic view of how fast that's going to happen than some of the rest of the industry has. That's not to say there won't be opportunities. That's not to say there aren't great companies there. But this is really a here and now opportunity.
We'll be back for more with ANN's Rob Finfrock and Vern Rayburn of Eclipse Aviation in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. Aero News Managing Editor Rob Finfrock is talking today with Vern Rayburn, CEO of Eclipse Aviation, about issues involved in marketing the Eclipse 500 in new markets.
One of the requirements, obviously, for the aircraft to be able to fly in Russia, Eastern and Western Europe will be EASA certification. And it doesn't go hand in hand as far as the logistics go, but obviously an aircraft flying in the skies over Russia will also need known icing capability. Could you give our listeners a brief update on the status of both of those programs?
Well, our known icing program is making great progress right now. We obviously missed the icing season of 2006 and 2007. And the simple fact of the matter is that in today's regulatory climate, the FAA requires extensive testing in actual or what's called natural icing conditions. And there's only one of two ways to do that. You either wait till the winter if you're in the northern hemisphere, or you go to the southern hemisphere during the summer in the northern hemisphere to find ice down there. We chose not to incur that expense and that complexity of deploying to South America or wherever we would have to find ice. We're now finding ice on a regular day, almost daily basis. The aircraft, I think, is in Tennessee today because there's some nice bad weather there. And that's what
tis the season.
Tis the season, but it's amazing how many days it's clear across the nation. And so it is, as I made a comment, it is difficult to predict precisely when you're going to do this. But we're making very good progress, and we're optimistic. EASA is moving along also. In fact, we have a team from EASA here in Albuquerque later this week, and we are making great progress with them. There are no significant issues that have surfaced at this point. One of the things, because of the involvement of some folks like Dr. Masefield and some of our other folks who had a lot of European certification experience under JAA, from the very beginning, we designed the 500 to be certifiable or easily certifiable in Europe. Does that mean there's no changes? I don't know that. But we think whatever changes there may be would be fairly minor, and so we're continuing to move forward. We got delayed. There's no question at all about that, because we were delayed by our own problems in production. We were delayed significantly by vendors not doing what they said they were going to, and that necessitated our requirement to, you know, basically re-engineer some of the stuff that was on the airplane. It's the way life works, and we're real happy with what where we are today. 2007 was a tough year. It was a tough year in a lot of different ways. It was tough in the fact that we didn't quite understand how to build this airplane. We think we do understand that now. It was tough in that some of the vendors didn't do what they said they were going to. We think we've solved those problems. It was tough in just hiring. We hired almost 1,000 people in 2007. I mean, that's tough no matter who does it. And starting with a base of about 600 or 700 people, it was even tougher. So it was a challenging year, but that's one thing that Eclipse does extraordinarily well. Its challenges don't stop us, contrary to a few people who would like to see that happen.
Well, and inadvertently, you segued right into the last question I had for you, a little bit tongue-in-cheek. That big bullseye on the back that you've painted, I would say, on your back, do you think it got a little bigger or a little smaller today?
I don't think it'll ever get smaller because I was listening to something on one of the talk shows or one of the radio shows, I can't remember. I think it was one of the sports networks talking about how when a coach or a team comes into something and they change the way things are done. Sports is pretty traditional stuff. They tend to be well hated, and the comment was basically, you know, people that come in and change things and cause other people pain because things have been changed generally aren't well liked. If that's my stake in life, so be it. The simple reality is, once again, we had a vision, we had an objective. It was to change the value of personal transportation. It was to change the way people travel. I think we're executing on that. The airplane is proving to be a great airplane. The really interesting thing, and I hearken back to, a few years ago when Microsoft was being so persecuted by the Justice Department, and, you know, you had people like Sun and Apple and a few others, you know, saying, oh, what a big, bad, evil company this is, and what a phenomenally terrible person Bill Gates is. In that whole episode, that whole period, you rarely heard Microsoft customers saying, boy, this is a bad company, these are bad guys. Quite the opposite. The Microsoft customers are almost universally defenders of the company. Same thing's happening here. Our customers that have actually taken delivery of the airplane love it. They absolutely, unequivocally love it. And that's one of the things that keeps me and keeps everybody at Eclipse going, is we know we've built a great airplane, we know we've built a world-class airplane, and we know it only gets better every day.
And I would say within the next 2 or 3 years, a whole new segment of customers are going to be able to experience that.
I think so. And in fact, they're going to experience it in some interesting ways. Our partner, Dayjet in Florida, is you know, being kind of quiet right now, but we know what's really going on. And the reality is their customers absolutely love the Eclipse 500. When I say love, they're flying in it repeatedly. When I say love, they come out of it saying, this is 100 times better than I expected it to be. It's the quietest airplane I've ever flown in. It's extremely comfortable. And why didn't this exist before? So that's the kind of validation, not the, you know, the individuals who post on blogs behind anonymous names and don't even have the guts to stand up and say who they are. The individuals who take nothing more than rumors and innuendo and expand it into just more of the same. I can't deal with that. I can't respond to that because that's responding to the wind. It's the people who put their money down, whether it's passengers with somebody like DayJet and another of our customers who are operating under 135 certificates today, are our customers who buy the airplane directly from us and take it home. Those are the people that are most important to us, and those are the people that are extraordinarily happy with what they have.
And it looks like you've definitely set up for a positive 2008, and good luck as Eclipse Aviation moves forward.
Well, thank you. We hope it's going to be positive. But if we've learned one thing, it's sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And therefore, when problems surface, all you can do is put your head down and keep going forward. And that's what we're pretty good at.
Vern Rayburn, President and CEO of Eclipse Aviation. Thank you for your time, Vern.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
You can read the company's press release on this story at www.eclipseaviation.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.